Доброго дня, шановні радіослухачі. 28 березня в Сіднейському таунхолі відбувся вечір збір коштів на підтримку України. Захід влучно називався «Australia stands with Ukraine». Український прапор майорів над Сіднейською ратушею. Із середини зал було підсвічено блакитним і жовтим. Були присутні більш ніж 700 гостей. Серед них українське суспільство Сіднею, австралійські друзі України, австралійські політики, представники консульств інших держав і, найголовніше, люди, які щойно втекли від жахів російсько-української війни. Ведучим програми був Андре Дентон, відомий австралійський журналіст та комік. Він сказав, що щасливий зробити свій внесок у допомогу Україні, бо відчуття безпорадності, коли просто споглядаєш жахіття війни, є таким, що пригнічує. Захід розпочався з хвилиною мовчання в пам'ять про загиблих на війні. Прозвучали гімни України та Австралії. Гімн Австралії виконала Тереза Гузій під акомпанемент Лариси Ковальчук. Після вшанування народу Гадігал, на землі якого ми всі знаходимось, гостей із традиційним танцем «Привіт» вітав танцювальний ансамбль «Заграва». Дуже проникливо і прямолінійно висловила свою підтримку Україні мер Сіднею Кловер Мур. Депутат парламенту Марк Коор від імені уряду НПВ висловив готовність прийняти більшу кількість переміщених осіб з України. Виступав щойно приїхавший посол України в Австралії Василь Мірошниченко. Він говорив про останній місяць свого життя зі сльозами на очах. І зал також плакав і аплодував стоячи. Важко було без сліз дивитися виступ Ірини Ілієнко, яка втекла з Донецька до Києва в 2014 році, а в 2022-му виїхала з України. Неабияку силу треба мати, щоб зі сцени розповідати про свою сім'ю, яка залишається під обстрілами, як це змогла зробити Катерина Аржіру, співголова СОУА. Вона закликала всіх включитися у допомогу, переводити гроші на Ukrainian Crisis Appeal. Закликала державу Австралії робити більше, в тому числі надати зброю Україні. Юстин Сінько підготував дуже потужні відео про Україну до війни та під час війни. Виступали Лариса Ковальчук з піснею «Пливе кача», ансамбль «Заграва» та «Джага Бенд» у фойє. Від імені організаторів подяку мерові Сіднея та команді таунхолу, а також всім, хто брав участь у підготовці вечора, висловив Богдан Володимирів, голова об'єднання українських громад НПВ. На заході роздавалися брошурки, в яких було посилання на те, як зробити пожертву на Ukraine Crisis Appeal. Для наших радіослухачів, які б хотіли приєднатися до збору грошей, ви це можете зробити за інтернет-адресою ukrainecrisisappeal.org. Сіднею для радіо СБС Тетяна Колдуненко. Детальніше з програмою заходу і виступами політиків ви можете ознайомитися, прослухавши цей запис.
Ukrainian time. She lives about 30 kilometers out of Kiev, the family. And as they were speaking, the line was disconnected. And they could see on Ukrainian television that Russian paratroopers had landed only 500 meters from her parents' house. A firefighter chief, the paratroopers were pushed back, and the signal was restored. But for Igor and his wife, you can imagine the terror of that, and I'm sure many of you share it. Igor was in Ukraine only 6 weeks ago. He described sitting down with some of his closest friends. Two of them are now dead. One of them was killed by a missile, but hit him in a car park in the middle of Kiev outside a shopping center only a week ago. And he said to me, "I'll never see my friends again." Why? And I asked Igor, "What is the morale like for your family in the bomb shelter?" And he said, "It's good." He said, "It's good. And it's good for two reasons. 50% of that is President Zelensky. He's been so important. And 50% of that is because we're fighting for our country and our families." And he said, "Think about it. In 34 days, a vastly superior Russian army has failed to take any major Ukrainian city." And he said, "The Ukraine, what they say now is, not that Ukraine should be asking to join NATO, but NATO should be asking to join Ukraine." But he said, "In the end, we are so far away. My wife has panic attacks, and it feels helpless that we can do nothing. And I imagine many of us here tonight feel helpless. And then I remember the story of a Russian man you've probably never heard of called Valery Atropin. Valery was one of Joseph Stalin's faceless bureaucrats, the man who worked in the files department of the KGB. And it was his job to tend the files of those hundreds of thousands of Russian citizens who were sent to their deaths in the gulags. And one day, many years ago, for reasons best known to him, Valery Atropin decided he could no longer do this. He could no longer, in conscience, be part of this apparatus. So he did something which he should never have done. He decided to smuggle out a file on one of those people under his greatcoat at the risk that he was discovered being shot. And he did that every week, most nights, for the next 20 years. And when he defected to the West, he took with him what is still considered one of the largest caches of intelligence ever from behind what was then the Iron Curtain. Valery Atropin lived with his name changed in England until he died a few years ago. And the reason I know about it is so exceptional was his contribution that he got an obituary in the London Times. And Valery Atropin is a reminder that however helpless we may feel, and however large and brutal the regime that is oppressing those who would like to help may look, there is always a weak point. There is always a gap in the fence. And there are always people motivated enough to go through it. So we're here tonight feeling helpless, but doing our best to help those who will go through the fence. With that in mind, I'd ask you please to make sure you take this home. This is your program tonight. It has on it a QR code so that you can encourage others to donate, as I hope you will. And it has internet contact details for the fundraiser. We also, you'll see ambassadors in Ukrainian national dress with yellow and blue sashes wandering around later, and you can ask them questions. We're going to hear from some very interesting people tonight, including a couple of people who only recently arrived from Kyiv, including Ukraine's new ambassador designate to Australia, who literally arrived here on Saturday. So I look forward to him wandering around the stage, punch drunk with Travel Sickness. That should be enjoyable. But first, we're going to hear from somebody who's lent us a house for tonight. And we love what you've done with it, Clover. Will you please welcome the Lord Mayor of Sydney, Councillor Clover.
Thank you, Andrew. And good evening, everyone. And it's an honour to welcome you to Town Hall tonight for this very important event. I'd like to first of all acknowledge the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and pay my respects to the elders both past and present, and also acknowledge the people of the very many nations who live in our city. And I also want to acknowledge the Minister of Multicultural Affairs. I'd like to acknowledge His Excellency Basil Merezhenko, the Ambassador Designate to Ukraine of Australia. I'd like to welcome the Members of Parliament who are here, Councillors of the City of Sydney, and distinguished guests. Most importantly, I want to acknowledge the government and the people of Ukraine. Like people around the world, I have been both awed and inspired by their courage and their resolve. It seems to me that patriotism comes from a deep love of country and a passionate devotion to freedom. Those are the qualities we see embedded in the regular broadcast of President Zelensky, a man who doesn't need to sit at the head of a long table to be impressive. He simply speaks the truth. Ukraine may be far from Sydney, but we have a strong Ukrainian community here, and in solidarity, and many of you are here tonight, and in solidarity with you and the people of your homeland, we've flown the Ukrainian flag above Town Hall since February the 25th, and we've also visited Town Hall. Australians of all backgrounds are appalled and shocked by the devastating slaughter and war crimes we see being inflicted on Ukrainian people. Hospitals and schools attacked. Houses and refugee convoys shelled. Babies and children coming under fire. Over 3 million people have left Ukraine, with many more displaced internally. And all those people will need our ongoing help. And they will need it long after the fighting has ceased. The Ukraine crisis appeal has so far raised over $2 million, which sounds good, but it amounts to just 65 cents per person among so many displaced. The Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organisations, in partnership with the Rotary Australia and Caritas Ukraine, has set a target of $5 million, and I hope that tonight's fundraising will help achieve that target. I ask everyone here tonight to give as generously as you are able, sending direct support and aid to a people who have earned the respect and admiration of us all. Thank you.
Thank you, the Honourable Clover. I'd like to welcome back to the stage now Marisa Kovalchuk, who plays the banjo, which is a traditional Ukrainian instrument. And the piece of music she's about to perform is a folk song, telling the story of a mother talking to a son who's about to head off to war. And it is a warning against war. Please welcome Marisa Kovalchuk.
Thank you.
Like many of you perhaps over recent weeks, I've looked around my own home and wondered, what would I pack? What would I take if I had to leave in just a few hours, not knowing if I'd ever return? As of today, it's estimated that the number of Ukrainians who have fled across their border to other countries is just under 4 million. Within Ukraine, another 6.5 million people are displaced. One quarter of the country, more than 10 million people, have left their homes. 90% of them are women and children. Rapidly, this has become the biggest refugee crisis in Europe since World War II. To speak to us now about some of what we in New South Wales can do, will you please welcome the State Minister for Multiculturalism, Honourable Mark Curran.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. I'd also like to recognise the Ukrainian leaders that are here tonight. Dan Wolaldi, President of the Ukrainian Council of New South Wales, and all of his colleagues of the Ukrainian Council, including Andrew and Stephen, our Reverend Fathers, Simon and Justin. Of course, we've got Stefan Romano, OAM, Vice President of the Ukrainian World Congress and Co-Chair of the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organisations, and many others that are here tonight. To my parliamentary colleagues, the mayors and councillors, Lord Mayor Clover Moore, thank you for hosting tonight. And to members of the Consular Corps, including the newly appointed Ukrainian Ambassador Desmond to Australia, Mr. Vassil Miroshchenko, and all of the distinguished guests that are here today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we stand with Ukraine, and this gathering is a testament of our unity as a community when we are faced with conflict and adversity. We come together and offer what we can to support. Tonight, we stand with our Ukraine community in solidarity and in support. As a multicultural society, when one of us is impacted by significant events overseas, we all feel it. And the deeply troubling events that are happening in Ukraine are horrific. And I would like to take this opportunity to pay my respects to the men, women and children who have lost their lives in this violence. And I extend to you my sorrow and deep sympathy for your loss. There is no excuse or reason for the violence that is unfolding. The images and stories from Ukraine right now are gut-wrenching to start with. And my heart goes out to each and every person in Ukraine and here in New South Wales that is being impacted by this conflict. Tonight, I'm representing the Premier of New South Wales, the Honourable Dominic Perrottet, who is unable to be here, but has asked me to send you his strong support for your community during this trying time. As many of you here would know, the Premier lit the stars of the Sydney Opera House in the colours of the Ukraine flag to show the whole world that we are standing in solidarity with Ukraine and its people. While a small gesture, I was pleased to learn of the impact this statement had, not only for our Ukrainian community here in New South Wales, but for Ukrainians overseas who are directly affected by the conflict. My message tonight is to please know New South Wales stands with you. We stand for human dignity, we stand for unity, and above all, we stand for peace. And in doing so, we join with the voices of billions of people around the world to stand for freedom. This is a tense moment for our world. That tension is felt deeply in communities right here in New South Wales. And as we watch in shock and horror at the events happening in Ukraine, I'm reminded of our state's unique position and our ability to rally in times as such as these. We do not stand here in hatred or violence in response to what is happening, Rather, we stand here united in love and support for our Ukrainian community. This is why I am so proud of our great multicultural society. As Ukraine faces this conflict, we see the toll it is taking, if that it takes, and the desperate need to seek safety, especially for our vulnerable citizens. Our state has always opened its doors to people seeking safety. And at the onset of the conflict, Premier Dominic Perrottet wrote to the Prime Minister expressing our strong support to accept Ukraine refugees over and above the current refugee and humanitarian program ceiling. And we have already welcomed more than 1,200 people from Ukraine in Australia. But we stand ready to welcome all. We will continue working closely with the Commonwealth Government to help fast-track processes for fleeing Ukrainians and connecting them with their communities here in New South Wales. We also know the incredible psychological pain and trauma war causes. That's why, here in New South Wales, we have a dedicated a phone support service through the Service for the Treatment of Torture and Trauma Services starts. This telephone counselling service has already provided vital support and counselling to those who need it. And I encourage anyone here, your friends, your family, to access that service. Through support and unity, we will continue to be a beacon of hope. And I'd like to conclude by thanking the Ukrainian Council of New South Wales for their extraordinary advocacy and support of the Ukraine-Australian community. I've been moved by your commitment and compassion and will continue to work closely with you as Minister for Multiculturalism to support the Ukraine community here in New South Wales. And so, we stand here tonight in the shadow of conflict. Know that the New South Wales Government is with you and you are not alone. Our community is strong and we'll get through this. Together, tonight, we stand with Ukraine.
Our next speaker arrived in Australia on Saturday as the representative to this country of Ukraine. He's been here less than 48 hours. That's an awful lot of people to take on board. You turn on the TV on a Saturday and see a man kick a ball through two sticks and 30,000 people embracing him. You thought, what strange country am I in? He has a lot to learn about us, but we have much more and much more urgent things to learn from him. Please welcome the ambassador designate to the Ukrainian embassy, Vasyl Merezhenko.
Your Excellencies, Lord Mayor of Sydney, Ministers, honourable members of Parliament, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, thanks a lot for coming here and supporting Ukraine in these trying times. Indeed, I just arrived on Saturday evening and with my family, with my daughter, she's 18, with my son, who's 5. And just seeing all these harrowing pictures of Ukraine, it's heartbreaking to see. 2 of my classmates from university got killed already. Both of them were defending the country. One got killed near Hostomel on the 26th of February. The other one got killed near Chernihiv on the 13th of March. Both were studying with me. They were all studying foreign affairs and international relations for university students. They could have become diplomats, but they decided to. Chosen to defend the country. For my family, it was the same as for many people you have described. We woke up very early on the 24th of February because we heard loud explosions. We learned that Russian missiles had hit the airport and Central Command Office and some other military targets. My wife woke me up and said the war just started, we need to back, we need to get up. So for me in Kyiv, that was one of those mornings we'll never forget. So we literally packed in 1 hour, all we could take, jumped into the car, tried to leave the city. there was huge traffic jam on the way out. As you can imagine, the city of Kyiv is a city of 3 million people. And people felt like fleeing the city. Got stuck in a traffic jam, ended up 12 hours later, we couldn't leave the center of town. We ended up staying at our friend's house on the outskirts of Kyiv, which is pretty close to Hostomel. This is where the main battles took place. We heard a lot of explosions, spent most of the night in the basement. For the next night, we moved to a different house, which is a little bit further away from Kyiv, but was still very close to Vasiliki, which is the place of a military airfield there. And we heard a lot of explosions at night, and as we learned in the morning, that was the Ukrainian armed forces that taking down the Russian aircraft carrying the Russian paratroopers. We couldn't find fuel in the city. Everybody refueled with the gas stations and ran out of fuel. It was difficult to leave. Eventually, the third day, I managed to leave the city. We drove to my hometown, which is 350 kilometers southwest of Kyiv, where we stayed for 2 days with my parents. And that was a relatively safe area still. However, we get bomb alerts all the time. And my wife said, look, take me out of here because it's very difficult on the kids. So we decided I'm going to take them out to Romania. And this is what we did. Actually, we went down there to the Ukrainian-Romanian border. And I saw a huge line of cars there. I also ran into a friend of mine in that line, and we just had a meeting at the Ministry of Economy 2 weeks before that. And she was there with her 2 kids, her parents, and 2 cars. And I said, Natalia, hey, it's so good to see you here in line, for the checkpoint across the border. And I've asked her, look, how long have you been here in this line? And she said, 28 hours. So she was already 28 hours in the middle of nowhere, in the field, it was snowing, and she was with her 2 little kids and all the parents trying to cross the border. There was still a 3 kilometer line ahead of her before she could even cross it. Checkpoint. My family ended up crossing the border on foot that day because it was the only viable option, actually, since also I was staying in Ukraine and just took them to the border. My friends on the other side, my friends from Moldova who lived in Romania, they came over to pick them up. The singer you just sitting here, who sang a Ukrainian song, he is the leader of one of the most famous Ukrainian bands called Boombox. His name is Andriy Glivniuk. He joined Territorial Defense Units on the first day of war. There were news 2 days ago that he got wounded with a shrapnel. And before that, he would rally huge concerts live, and people would come and watch him, and he's now fighting for the country. Look, this is literally, my first, second day here. I got catapulted into Australia. My appointment was launched in December, and according to the plan, I was supposed to be appointed a little bit later, and I planned to arrive here in June. However, my president and my minister of foreign affairs believed that I could be much better used here, so they sent me here, and I'm very grateful to the warm welcome I have received from all the Australian people, from the Ukrainian community here. It's so important to get united at these times, and this, we can feel it in Ukraine. We can feel the support of Ukrainian diaspora from all corners of the world, and it's so important to keep on mobilizing this support, to keep on raising money to support Ukrainians in need, to support humanitarian assistance. We appreciate the military assistance we're getting from Australia, because this is what gives us an opportunity to be defending the country, to be fighting the Russian invasion, to be able to defend our sovereignty. This is now an existential threat that we're facing. All Ukrainians, Russian-speaking, Ukrainian-speaking, they're all united as never before. Orthodox, Catholics, Jews and Muslims, we're all united in one political nation in Ukraine. And it is Vladimir Putin who has actually created and provided the birth of this political nation in Ukraine. We feel resilient and we will keep on fighting. Of course, my stint here as ambassador is only starting. I presented copies of my credentials to the DFAT this morning. Also, I was pleased to meet senior officials at the ministry. later on, I went and paid a visit to the Chancellor of the Australian National University, Honorable Julia Bishop. She was a former Minister of Foreign Affairs here. And I had a chance to meet her in 2014 personally, one of the very few Australians I ever met. But in 2014, she came to Ukraine to take care of the tragic consequences of the MH17, which was done by the Russians over the territory of Ukraine. And at that time, she came over to Ukraine Crisis Media Center, the Media Hub, which I and many other people in Ukraine have helped to co-found. And I was a moderator of her press conference. So I was very pleased to come today and see her. And I reminded her about that meeting. And I was pleased, she said she might have even remembered me, that and now seeing her here at the campus, one of the best universities of Australia, seeing her support, it really meant a lot to me. And I really feel this warm welcome throughout the places where I go. I really hope that Australia will continue supporting Ukraine. I hope the war will be over. We'll need to rebuild the country. We'll need your investments. We'll need your support to rebuild the country. And this is what I hope to focus on, because this is what we'll need to restore the country, which is brutally razed and brutally ruined as we speak right now. So I would like to, of course, conclude my remarks on a positive note. And I would like to thank the Lord Mayor of Sydney again for hosting this big event. This is definitely, I can see this is huge turnout and the number of people who showed up. It gives me inspiration, it gives me this positive vibes that we can overcome the enemy and we can rebuild the country because the free world is supporting Ukraine. Thank you very much for doing
that. I wish you well in your future mission, and I trust that the doors of every government will be open to you as you go about. Our next speaker has also just arrived from Ukraine, from Kyiv. Please welcome Nina Ilyenko.
But unfortunately, on the 24th of February, we leave here. And then made decision to escape Ukraine. I, with my son, come to Australia. And now my son and I finally can live and feel safe. We also feel very supported. We appreciate all the help we were given, and I also can't stress enough how much more can be, how much can be done for people who stay in Ukraine now and can't leave. They need help with evacuation. They need food. Some of them didn't even have clear water. They live with no electricity. What is shown in the news is far cut from reality. My friend in Kyiv has been living in a bomb shelter for almost a month with her 12-year-old daughter. Her daughter's fascinating
We're about to see a video now from Tatiana Stavnichny, who's the CEO of Caritas in Ukraine, one of the organizations that the money raised tonight will go to. She's got an interesting history. Her parents, when they were teenagers, fled the Ukraine to escape communism and Russian oppression back in 1944. And in August last year, Tatiana returned to become the CEO of Caritas, a Catholic care organization in Ukraine. And of course, now the war has broken. And she finds herself dealing with a vast refugee crisis, literally under fire. Impressively, 45 of the 50 Caritas staff have chosen to stay in Ukraine and work with her. You know, as Tatiana Stavnichny.
To the Rotary Australia Rural Services and the Rotarian Association, also to the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organizations, and to thank you so much for the support that you've given us in these first 3 weeks of the war in Ukraine. I want to let you know that Caritas Ukraine and our Tire Network started our work on the first day of the war. We've been doing some pre-planning what to do in case something would happen, and so we had plans in place. We were able to enact them immediately, and thanks to the support that we received from Australia, we were able to continue that throughout this entire 3 week period so far. What we've been focusing on has been mostly our preparation had to do with people in transit. So internally displaced persons, we've prepared all our centers. Right now there are 27 centers that have joined into the effort. So we are helping people who are in transit, people who need a place to rest, need a hot meal, need something warm to drink, need hygiene products, or even options to some child friendly spaces where we can help take care of their children, have a rest, and help them on their way. Some people are struggling to settle in Western Ukraine as well, and so we're helping in that initiatives also. And then we're helping at the border as well. We have teams going to the border with tents, taking food and things to drink, and just general support for the people who are trying to get across the line, across the borderline. Also, another aspect that we haven't been picking up but has really developed over the last 2 weeks is sending supplies into the areas where there's greater fighting, where the conflict is really developing quickly. We've been getting able to get supplies into Kyiv, Vipoaz, Odessa. We were getting things into Mariupol, but previously, obviously, that's not possible anymore. Getting supplies into Kharkiv with the Poltava, and very often into villages that are in the surrounding area if that's possible. All this is made possible thanks to the support that you've been giving us. So thank you so much. I just want to thank you again for your support, for your material support, but not only also for your solidarity and the kindness that you're showing to the people in Ukraine in this time of need. So I hope that you will be able to continue to support. The needs are really growing. The violence is not stopping. More people are fleeing, and again, they are in more dire circumstances and in dire. Their situation is more vulnerable to the psychological trauma. And we're going to be working. I'm sure that Caritas is working on plans to deepen our humanitarian relief aid. We have good experience in the last 8 years working in Eastern Ukraine on humanitarian relief efforts, and we have various modalities and systems in place to be able to share that experience into Western Ukraine and to really offer both life-saving and dignity-giving support to the IDPs who are in the government in Ukraine and in the central part of the city. Thank you.
So, Nitin, oh, there we are, sorry about that. CEO of Caritas. You may not have noticed, but towards the end there was a slight edit. That's because you can imagine the pressure that she and everyone working in Caritas are under. Tatiana actually broke down while recording that message to us. Before we hear from our next speaker, just a reminder, please, to take these programs home with you. They do have the QR code about donating. They do have a website, and you can pass that on to others. Our next speaker is from the Federation of Ukrainian Organizations. Will you please welcome Katerina Azhurin.
Your Excellency, Ministers, Lord Mayor, representatives of the Diplomatic Corps, Reverend Fathers, leaders of community organizations, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I stand before you as one of the leaders of the Ukrainian community in Australia, as an investment analyst, as a wife, as a mother, but most importantly, I stand here today as a daughter, a niece, a cousin, a granddaughter of people that are currently being bombed, that are being starved, and that are feeling unimaginable pain and suffering. Russia's war against Ukraine is not only the most appalling violation of human rights, international law, there also seems to be no limit to the brutal force that Vladimir Putin is willing to use against Ukraine and its peaceful citizens. This war is deeply personal for me. It's not something I read about in newspapers, and it's not something that I hear about on TV. It is a daily nightmare that my family and I live through. My mother has already escaped, or should I say dodged, two airstrikes in V. One outside the Yemeni military base, and another one that just happened yesterday morning, Australian time. My father has been asked to take up arms. My cousins have joined the territorial defense. My aunts and uncles are volunteering and helping to unload humanitarian aid trucks. Like many other elderly residents in Ukraine, my grandparents are probably suffering the most. My grandparents are in their 80s, and they're stuck in Kiev right now with no food, no running water, and no electricity. They live in a high-rise apartment building. My grandmother, 84, is bedridden. She cannot go up and down 13 flights of stairs every time an airstrike warning is announced. Sometimes there's 3 or 4 airstrike warnings a day. Local stores have been shelled and medicine is scarce. My grandparents are currently relying on the grace of their neighbors to give them any food that they have and to get them the life-saving medicine that they need. Instead of going to a bomb shelter, my grandparents take cover in a bathtub. Instead of hearing the laughter of their great-grandchildren, they hear the deafening sounds of sirens, of whistling rockets over their head, and explosions all around you. Despite all this, my family is what we call lucky. They may be short on food and water, but they are alive. They may be sleeping in bulletproof vests, but they're alive. At least for now. It pains me to say that there are millions of families that have not been so lucky. They have been displaced. Mothers, fathers, and children have been killed. This type of pain and devastation is very hard to put into words. It's something you wouldn't wish upon your worst enemy. Although we are on the other side of the world, there's a very strong connection to Ukraine, whether it's through the Australian-Ukrainian community or just the broader Australian community at large. We all have one goal, and that's to stand with Ukraine and to assist in any way that we can. Now I'd like to say a couple words about the Ukraine crisis appeal. It's the reason why we're all here today, a benefit concert to help raise humanitarian aid. The Ukrainian Crisis Appeal was launched in 2015 in partnership with the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organizations, Rotary Club, and Caritas Ukraine. I was involved in setting the structure up 7 years ago, and the two men that really made it happen, and I will say this each and every time, are Dan Molany and Guy Glenny. I don't know if Guy Glenny's here, I haven't seen him tonight. But that's the reason why we have this fund, and why we are able to raise funds in Australia in a tax-deductible way and send it directly to Ukraine. It was the first tax-deductible fund that allowed donations made in Australia to be directed straight to Ukraine. Today, it has been the largest fundraising effort in Australia for humanitarian aid for Ukraine, and as of this morning, as was mentioned earlier by the Lord Mayor, we raised $2.3 million. Some important numbers. 97.25% of funds raised were directed to Ukraine. As we all know, different charitable funds have different structures and there are a lot of admin costs. This fund, 97.25% was directed to Ukraine, 97.25%. They fund jointly and great projects. Since the beginning of Russia's full-scale war against Ukraine, the humanitarian aid program has focused on such things as providing food, medical aid, shelter, very much focused on helping children. This is a proven partnership with globally recognized humanitarian organizations that have a track record, full transparency, and an incredibly committed volunteer network. I would like to encourage everyone here to donate to the Ukraine Crisis Appeal. Please also go back to your friends and family, go back to your employers. Ask them to support the Ukraine Crisis Appeal through corporate donations and sponsorships. Together we can make a real impact. And lastly, I'd like to leave you with two messages this evening. One is, on behalf of the Ukrainian community in Australia, I'd like to express my sincere gratitude to the Australian government for the aid and support that you provided, both in terms of humanitarian visas, in terms of medical aid, humanitarian aid, and the increasing military aid. Thank you, Australia. Is please do more. I know it's very hard to ask people to do more and people are stretched and there are various calamities happening across the world, but I'm begging you to please do more for Ukraine. The Ukrainian people have shown the world their strong fighting spirit and they will not give in. They will not give up fighting for their future. As uncomfortable as it makes some people feel to talk about military aid and lethal weapons, and I must admit, I was one of those people, we must continue to supply Ukraine with weapons. That is the only way that we can stop Putin and stop Russia, and we can save and survive. I would like to say, please don't sit on the sidelines. Be on the right side of history. Act now. And as the famous quote goes, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Inaction only emboldens. I urge you all now to act, to stop Putin, and to help save millions of lives. Slava Ukraini.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're drawing to a close. A reminder that after the event is over, there'll be tea and coffee and some music in the foyer of the town hall, a chance for you to talk further about how you can help and what's happening in Ukraine. Very shortly, we're going to have some very vigorous Ukrainian dancing. But first, please welcome the President of the Ukrainian Council of New South Wales, Dan Molany.
Dear friends of Ukraine, thank you for coming today to stand with Ukraine. Slava Ukraini! Slava Ukraini! Slava Ukraini!
Slava!
It's day 34 of Putin's three-day war in Ukraine. It's all going to plan, he tells the world. So let me start today by thanking the women and men of the Ukrainian Armed Services who are changing that plan and pushing back the Russians from Kiev and Kherson and holding up the Mariupol. As Andrew and others have said tonight, it's a long way away, But the war that we have to fight over here is the information war and the economic war. And that's what we're doing here tonight. I want to thank a lot of people tonight that made this whole event possible. All our speakers, I won't mention them by name, they've been fantastic. Melissa, who sang for us. The entire St. Paul family, Justin, who put this event together. He always does, and he always knocks it out of the park. Well done, Justin. Andrew Dudley, who is involved in the humanitarian aid campaign as the chair. I may have started this fund, but she's put her heart and soul in. Also the dancers that you've seen a little bit of, and you'll be seeing some more of in a moment. The ladies in the traditional costumes. A huge thanks to the Marika Shashkiak, Larissa Bukalova, and Tanya Zivavich, who were involved in putting all that together. Also the City of Sydney team, who did a fantastic job over putting all this together. And I want to acknowledge you specifically as Lord Mayor and the leader of that team.
Andrew Denton, I want to acknowledge as well.
Okay, also, there's a lot of people to thank, I'm sorry. All our corporate sponsors, we've raised all this money, and some of the major ones are Silver Sydney, the Youth Association, Topshelf International, Vivian Court Trading, Dooley's Lisbon Catholic Club, Landers and Rogers, Wilson Asset Management, Lone Star Steakhouse, the 2020 Optical Store, Yieldley, Ernst & Young, Mitsubishi Electric, Coda Capital, Big Red Communications, AAW Logistics, and Academy Uniforms. These people gave serious amounts of money, sorry, I just can't tell you many, many more that have done a fantastic job too. So we're finishing up now and we'll have coffee afterwards. Please come and talk to us if you have any questions. People wearing sash or wearing national costume. You might hear some more from the ambassador. And please take those programs with you. They're very important to help us win this information. I now ask you to sit back and enjoy a traditional popak, a dance that embodies the freedom and spirit of Ukrainian Cossacks and the culture of Ukraine. Please welcome the Zandava dancing.